Yeah, I think it's recording our call. So.
Oh. Okay. I'll be talking about refinishing furniture. So hunting for furniture on Craigslist and deciding if it's worth purchasing, and then if you get it, if you want to improve it, what you do.
Okay, have you refinished, what kinds of things have you, like, refinished in the past? Or, like, bought,
yeah,
like, stuff and resold? Have you, like, resold anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually got a table for free, and it was an IKEA table, just one of their classic, like, wood ones. It had white table legs, a one pull-out drawer, and then it had a wood top made of pine. But the they put this, like, wax substance on it, and it was kind of damaged from water. It just didn't look good, which is why they were giving it away. But I completely flipped the table by sanding the entire thing down to the wood grain again. I stained it this beautiful color. I painted the legs, and I got new handles for the drawer pulls. And I ended up selling it. I think I sold it for $175.
And you got it for free, you said?
Yeah, I got it for free.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't like... I'm not a huge fan of refinishing, resanding, repainting, all that stuff, just because I don't really know how to do it. But not just that, because I feel like it takes forever. Is that right? Like, how long did it take you to do that?
Well, that's the thing. It can take a long time, so you have to be willing to invest in it. And the reason that I got the table is because originally I wanted it for myself, so I was willing to put in the time. So if someone's going to go out and, like, look at furniture to try and to refinish and flip, they're really putting an investment into a piece of furniture. And they have to have the right materials. Because, for instance, I have a power sander, and I have the right tools to, like, strip the wood and strip the wax, and everything costs money. So if you think you're going to take over this table with a little bit of sandpaper in your hand, you're going to give up. It's not going to work. So when you decide to flip a piece of furniture, really do your research and make sure that you're, like, prepared to work on it by having the right tools and time.
Okay, well, my time is, like, really valuable to me, so I'm very watchful. And the thing is, when you're in a thrifting business, like when you're in a flipping business, buying things and reselling them,
yeah,
you have to actually treat it like a business and not just like a side hobby. So when you're treating this thing as a business, you're tracking everything, profits, losses, expenses, mm-hmm. and even your time. So do you feel like the time investment for buying furniture pieces and, like, refinishing it is worth the profits? Like, how big are the profit margins versus, like, the time you put into it? Do you know what I mean? Give me a sense of, like give me an example.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Give me just some examples, straightforward.
Yeah. Sure. So, okay, I agree with you. I think from the flipper standpoint, you shouldn't refinish your furniture. Really look for items that are just, like, ready to get out the door or have minimal damage to them so that they can be an easy sell. I think the only reason that you should actually refinish a piece of furniture is if A, you want it for yourself, B, you run a refinishing business, or C, you bought a piece of furniture thinking that it was good to go, and then you realize that you can't sell it because, okay, something is wrong with it.
Oh, so you're put in a situation where you're kind of forced to refinish it in order for it to sell?
Absolutely, yep. And,
yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking, because, like, for instance, I just recently got this vanity, and again, it was an item that I wanted for myself, and once I got it, I was like, hey, turns out I don't want it. So I picked up the vanity for $50, and it looked good, but the stool itself was made of, like, carbon board, and it wasn't very secure, so if a larger person sat on that stool, they probably would have broken it. So I reinforced it by just, like, a couple of 2x4 pieces and then some screws and my power drill. And when I did that, it made it way sturdier and then also helped to sell. Because when the family came to pick it up and I flipped it for $75, so it only made a profit of $25 on that sale. Not a ton, but I didn't have a lot invested in it. The family did pick up the stool and look to see if it was reinforced. So that's just an instance of, like, when it counts. To just make what I consider a quick fix paid off in the long run.
Okay. Well, would you recommend, like, something like refinishing? See, I feel like something like buying furniture, refinishing it, and reselling it is, like, might be a favorable thing to do for, like, I don't know, like, stay-at-home moms or even stay-at-home dads. I mean, shit, if they know how to do it and they have a lot of time on their hands, I think it might be, and their time is not really a huge issue because, you know, like, if they're home all day anyway, it might be a decent thing to look at. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, because honestly, it's fun, and it's kind of a creative outlet where you can see this piece of furniture, and you're like, I can turn that into something way better than what it currently is.
Yeah, and I think it would be cool for, like, the creative mind who's passionate about that to just, like, do it. And if somebody is, like, super content and happy refinishing furniture and completely, like, expressing their, like, design side through that, I mean, that's freaking awesome, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree. It's not going to be for everyone, and it does take a lot of time, but for those people who have always wanted to try, start small. That's all I can say is start small, because then you get a realistic idea of what it takes, and don't make a huge investment on your first refinishing project. Because if you don't follow it through, you're just going to be stuck with a half-finished piece of furniture. So, start small, be realistic, and give it a try if you have the time and the passion to try it.
Yeah, and I think if you do have the knowledge, expertise, skills, and the time to do it, it can be there is potential in it to turn it into a full-time gig. Because if we break it down time-wise and profits-wise, let's say you buy give me an example of a piece of furniture that'd be great for refinishing.
A dresser.
Okay, let's say you buy a beat-up dresser. I mean, this thing is beat up, but you do see potential in it. You see a lot of potential. So let's say you have your typical 9-to-5 type job. You have an 8-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you make $150 net that you take home at the end of your 8 hours. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you go the refinishing furniture route and flipping it. Say you buy that dresser and you have it, and in 8 hours, you can completely turn it into that vision that you had, or completely have it refinished, ready to go, ready to sell. It did take you 8 hours, though, to resand it, add hardware, whatever it is. It took you about 8 hours, and you sold it, and you made $200 on it. At that point, I think it sounds like a pretty good setup for someone who loves doing it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because you can make a big profit. Like, for instance, the table that I did, that sold for I got it for free, and I made like $100 off of that. And then I have this dresser that I completely redid. I was obsessed with it. I worked so hard on it. I think I sanded for, I think, like 6 hours straight, and I'm not even joking. But that thing turned out so good. I got it for $50, and I could probably flip it for $300.
You know what? And that just reminded me. So here's the thing. A lot of people think it takes money to make money, and that's not true at all, because you can invest other things besides money to make money. For example, your time and energy. You've got unlimited energy. You may not have unlimited money, but you have unlimited energy, and you can invest your energy and time. So let's say you don't have much money to invest starting out when you want to get into flipping things, but you've got a lot of energy, you can still invest your energy and monetize it. Going back to the refinishing things, if you go on the free section of Craigslist and get like a dresser, a bookshelf, and like a wooden chair just all for free, you invested $0 into that, but now you're going to be investing energy and time into refinishing it. Well, you might be investing a couple bucks for materials, but the profit at that point, you're investing your energy and time and you're monetizing it. So it's not always true that it takes money to make money. It takes energy, it takes time. Those are two things you can also invest in order to make money and returns.
And that's so beautiful, like literally just to my ears, because starting out, like I am a really creative person and I don't feel like I have a ton of money to pour into some of the larger Craigslist purchases. So that was the way that I could get free stuff and do something that I liked and then flip it for actually a substantial profit. And when you do that, sometimes you never even know like what's going to come out of the woodwork, because my table that I sold, I posted the pictures and someone actually contacted me and said, did you refinish that yourself? And I said, I did. And then he actually emailed and said, I will pay you to refinish my furniture.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome. And that's the cool part about, you know, putting yourself out there or buying and selling things or, you know, flipping things. Opportunities just come to you that way. I mean, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I never even knew that. I don't think you told me that. Did you?
Oh, I don't know. That was a while ago. I thought I did.
Okay.
And the guy, like, literally, he was like, come and refinish my furniture. I'll pay you, like, good money. But I was working, like, eight-plus hours a day. I was super busy. And I decided I just didn't have the time to donate for, like, the amount of money that he wanted to pay. But I was like, that's cool because someone likes what I did. And it just goes to show that business opportunities can come from that.
And pay off, yeah. And the crazy part is, so that guy sounds like somebody who doesn't have time but does have money. You sound like someone who has time and maybe not all the money you want towards the, you know, investing and flipping things, but that's awesome because at that point you can, you know, like I'm all about like finding creative ways of monetizing things, just overall creative, like creativity. So if he wanted to, let's say I was the guy who didn't know how to refinish things, like I don't, because like I suck at that stuff. I don't know anything about it. It takes forever. I don't have the design eye. I don't have the creative eye at all.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do I want to spend the time, one, learning, and two, actually doing it. So in a case like that, I would have the money to spend and invest. And if I wanted to start a refinishing business, I would find someone like you who has the time and energy.
Yeah.
I would pay you for it. Let's say I got a free piece of furniture. Let's say I got like some awesome like quality, like a solid bookshelf that's made of wood. That has potential. Let's say I got it for $10, and let's say I paid you $100 to refinish it, and you're like totally okay with that. Yeah, you're like, yeah, I love doing this. I would totally do that. It'd only take me 4 hours to do this. So my total investment at that point is $110. $100 to pay you to refinish it, and $10 to buy it. And let's say the finished product is this badass bookshelf that's like completely out of this world and unique, I can potentially post that for $200 to $300 and it would sell, and you got paid, I got paid, I got a profit, and the customer is happy with this badass bookshelf that they got, so everyone walks home happy.
Yeah.
And so I mean that's, my mind just automatically goes to creative, like, situations like that.
Yeah, and I love it, because that's how it should be. Like, if you know someone, like, you're good at getting free stuff, but you really don't know what you're doing, and you're like, oh, crap, I need to fix this up. Like, you can totally collab with somebody and like, start, you know, with your budget and say, I'll pay you $20 if you can, like, just make this, like, stay together. And they'll be like, okay, and they just grab their nails and a hammer and get to it, and the next thing you know, you're flipping it for 70 and you've both made a profit.
Yeah, it all comes down to how much you value, how much your time is worth, and that's what you have to figure out for yourself, you know?
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Truer words have never been spoken.
But yeah, refinishing stuff, what else is there? I can't really think of anything else important. I mean,
well, there's a ton that, like, when it comes down to what you're looking at, so like let's say you're looking at a chair and you want to reupholster it, I would say unless you're great at sewing, stay away from any reupholstery projects, because they are incredibly expensive.
Oh,
if you want to do a really good
stuff?
For the fabric, oh yeah. Like if you get this, like you're like, this chair looks awesome, and you're like, oh, but it's like got this ratty old fabric on it, and I'm gonna rip that off and like fix it, and you think, oh, I'm just gonna take it to a reupholsterer. They charge like $400 to $600.
Well, here's the thing about that. I totally agree with you. So do you remember that Nathan Anthony couch I got?
Yeah.
So there's a couch that I got. It's a designer brand, really high-end luxury couch by Nathan Anthony. They make like $4,000+ couches, and then their used couches are at the $1,500 range. So I picked up this Nathan Anthony couch for $45 at a thrift store. Obviously, it was in a perfect condition. It could have used like a cleaning. It could have used, I think one part of the little pillows on the seams was torn.
Yeah, the cushion. Yeah, the seam was torn.
So you could easily sew that part. Point is, and there's a couple like scuffs on the back of the leather, but that wasn't a giant deal. It was a good enough deal. It was in good enough condition where, like, if you bought it, you would be guaranteed to make a profit either way, whether it's like medium or big. But anyway, so I think, for example, like on a couch like that, like a high-end, you know, $4,000 quality couch, it might be worth it to, you know, get it redid. Because, for example, the buyer, it actually sold for $225. But the buyer, the woman was looking for, that was exactly the kind of couch she was looking for. But she was even thinking of, like, getting new covers made for it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And basically
and
going
that's
through
the way
that
to go.
Process. And I think that would be probably, that wouldn't be a bad idea. That would be a good investment because you still have the same couch, but you just invested some money into making it, like, fresh and new again.
Yeah, and that's what counts is, like, it just needs a spruce up. So, like, I guess, yeah, so with fabric, just be thoughtful because you're totally right about that couch. I mean, you're so right. Like, that's such a good investment. But, like, getting a single chair that you got for, like, $20 and then you're going to spend, like, $200 to reupholster it, that's not a good investment.
Right, right. And also back to the, like, as far as refinishing items go, if you buy something that's in okay shape that could definitely increase the value by refinishing it, you don't have to refinish it. If you bought it at a low price, you can sell it at a price minus the cost of refinishing it. Like, for example, you know what I mean? Like, if I bought a bookshelf for $20, let's go back to that bookshelf. Was it a bookshelf for $10?
Yeah, you said bookshelf.
Yeah. So that bookshelf for $10, I paid you $100 to refinish it. It is now worth $300. Let's say I didn't pay you that $100 to refinish it, and I sold it as is. I could probably sell it for $60 as it is, depending on the condition. You know, the range between $10, the difference between $10 and $60. Is not big enough to, like, make a huge difference to someone. So, like, you could sell, or I could sell it as is just because I wouldn't want to deal with refinishing it for $60.
Yeah.
And you still made a $50 profit just from acquiring the item and flipping it.
Yeah, for instance, right along that same line, do you remember outside of your house when I pulled up and I was like, we need that, and there was like this dresser thing that they were throwing out, and so you, like a Hulk, lifted that into my Jeep for me, and I took it home, and I was like, I'm going to make this the dopest dresser ever. I was like, this is going to be a kitchen island. I was going to, like, attach casts to the bottom of it, and it was perfect. But as it sat in the garage, I was just like, okay, no, I'm just going to sell it because I don't have the time to invest in this. And I literally posted on Craigslist, I said, I was planning on refinishing this, and I said it was either going to be a dresser or a kitchen island. And I got like 3 text messages right away, and this woman was like, I want this. I'm going to actually refinish it. It's going to turn into this, like, popcorn stand in our basement. So just the fact that you, like, suggested that it doesn't have to be just what you think it is, people were crawling all over to buy that. And I got it for free, and I think I sold it for, like, $65.
Wow. And, yeah, and back to the, you know, if we're talking an hourly rate or how much you're making for your time, you basically put in probably 45 seconds of having your car parked while I put it in the back of your truck, and then just post, you know, spending maybe like 10 minutes taking pics on your phone and then just posting it up for sale, and then boom. How much
did
you sell it for again?
I think we sold it for 70.
Yeah, I mean, $70, just like that. So
yeah,
the thing is,
70.
The deals are everywhere. I mean, whatever it is, especially like, you know, furniture pieces. And that's a good reminder. I completely, because in the book, I keep talking about investing in a truck. But for, I don't know why, I completely forgot about the possibility of having a freaking, like, SUV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, if you have an SUV, there's still a lot of potential.
There's
with
a lot of space. Yeah.
Like, a ton more.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. I'll have to add that in there. But,
okay.
Yeah, you know that, so that baby changing table that I got?
Yeah.
I bought it for, do you remember how much I got it for?
No, I don't.
I think, oh, okay, it was $45. So I got, that was the day I got the two red living room chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby changing table. The table was $45, and the two living room chairs were, $70. So I posted the baby changing table. Well, first of all, I thought it was a freaking dresser. So this whole time I'm like, look at this cool white dresser. And I guess it can be like a dress. It could be whatever you want it to.
Yeah. Okay. It kind of was.
If I wanted that to be my closet, I can make it my closet. But yeah. So it was. Freaking like three things. It was a white dresser / TV stand / baby changing table. But the fact that it was a baby changing table is super important, because at that point you're opening up a complete new market out there.
Yeah.
You've got all these moms and like pregnant people like having babies left and right, and they're constantly looking for these things. You know, and today people don't want to spend. I actually Googled it. And those for some reason, like, baby changing tables are super expensive. Like, super expensive.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think I saw some for, like, $600. But anyway.
Ah.
So this girl texts me, or she emails me, and she's like, I want to take, you know, I posted it for $190, and she offered $150. And I said, yeah, I would sell it to you for $150. And she couldn't make it. She wanted it so bad, she actually sent her parents. She called her parents, and her parents, like her old parents, came and picked it up. And they were telling me, they were like, yeah, she's been, they're like, yeah, these go like hotcakes. Like, they're like, there's another one they're interested in for, I think, $200, and it sold right away. Because she was having a baby soon, and she was looking for a table. But, yeah, so at that point, it's important to recognize what the product actually is too. Like, if I never knew it was a baby changing table and put those keywords in the ad, that market would probably never come across it, because they're probably searching on Craigslist baby changing table and they're looking for like good deals and stuff. But like, it's crazy. And those two red living room chairs, actually, like you were mentioning about the other chick who was like super excited about your dresser thing, or your what was the thing we picked up? It wasn't a dresser. It was like a little island thing.
Well, it kind of was. It was like a dress. It had three drawers, and then it had this like side piece that was like shelves.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah. So the thing is, this lady who, so the two chairs I got, well, first of all, like, I'm glad I took pictures of them at the thrift store so that I could have them included. But I also, like, took awesome pictures of them, like, staged in my living room.
Yeah.
And then I had you write that killer description that was, like, out of this world.
Thank you.
Which we're going to have a there's a section on that too. But I think we should maybe have another call on descriptions and writing, like...
Yeah.
Because you're really good at coming up with descriptions with, as far as, like, the furniture side and, like, different wood and stuff like that, but...
No, you're right, though. Like, because you're so good when it comes to, like, your technical elements. Like, you know what you're talking about. You do so good describing, like, what something is and, like, what its features are. But, yeah, I have this, like, soft spot for furniture and wood. So, you know.
Well, like, you're just, like, I think it has to do with the fact that, like, your vocabulary and your communication skills and your writing, like, the way you describe some of these pieces, like, holy shit, you could turn, like, a regular red wooden table into this, like, masterpiece table with, like, a story behind it. And, like, something that you just, like, it immediately gets people emotionally involved. And that's a huge part of writing your ads, is make them emotionally driven. Use descriptive words that really make the item sell. You know, sell the item.
Yeah.
But
make yourself want to buy it.
Yeah, so the red chairs, what happened was this woman, and every now and then you get people who contact you who, they don't even mention price. They just come and pay you full price right on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And those are always cool because they don't try to negotiate. They want the item. They don't like haggle or anything. But anyway, so the two chairs, she's like, she really wanted to check them out because she wanted them for her living room, and she actually brought one of the pillows from her living room because she wanted to make sure it matched. But as soon as she walked inside, she, oh my God, she was so excited about these chairs. She just kept going on and on. She was like, oh my God, they're perfect. They're going to match my couch, and like, she wouldn't stop, like, talking about them. And it's weird because she took the chairs. She was super happy about them. But, like, I posted it for $220, and she gave me $220, and then she's like, hold on, let me go in my car. And then she gave me an extra $5. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was, like, in love with these chairs. And, yeah, I think it's an awesome thing. There's nothing wrong with buying low at thrift stores or on Craigslist and reselling, basically being a middleman and reselling to people. Because look how happy she was. She wouldn't care. She wouldn't care if she knew that I got them for $70. She wanted the chairs anyway.
No.
You know, she's going to pay the price anyway. So it's like you're kind of connecting people with, and who knows, maybe she's never been into a thrift store in her whole life. But here you just completely hooked her up with these awesome chairs in her living room now. And she's like super happy with.
Yeah, I love that story, because it's just, like, it's so right. Well, first of all, I didn't know that she, like, tipped you an extra $5. That's amazing. But, like, yeah, she couldn't have cared less. Like, when someone comes and they're, like, so excited, it's huge. Because, like, that's what happened with the family that came to pick up my vanity. It was a teen girl who was buying it, and she's like, it's perfect. Like, she was so stoked. And her grandpa was with her, and he's like, are you sure? And she's like, absolutely.
Okay, and, I have a question for you. Go ahead. You can finish, and I have, a huge question for you.
Well, no, I was just going to say that they paid full price, and she was, like, so happy, and she was just, like, it just is a good feeling to sell to someone like that.
Yeah, and it's more than just making profits off of it. It feels good, helping people. You know, I sold a couch to a girl who got her first apartment, and she was super happy with it. You know, first apartment. You're always gonna remember your first apartment. You know.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
So
a big deal.
The fact that you were there to help. You know, you were a part of that, and you like hooked them up or whatever it is. But I was gonna ask you. So like, I feel like because of you, I have the eye. Like. The eye of the tiger when it comes to furniture. So, like, before, if I walked into, like, a thrift store and saw, like, just some random old piece of furniture, wouldn't even look at it, first of all. And second of all, I'd be like, okay, nobody's going to buy that. But now, after, like, seeing how you look at furniture pieces and chairs and couches and all these, like, random, like, I swear, whenever you see something that I think is completely ugly and retarded, and you, you're like, that's the best thing ever, I'm like,
yeah.
And then you get it, and I'm like, okay, whatever. You take it home, and it's like the best thing in the world. It looks so awesome. So how do you, like, I feel like over time, I've finally developed that ability. Like, honestly, I would say because of you, that, like, you're responsible for that white baby changing table and those red living room chairs.
Yeah.
I got the confidence to, like, buy those on the spot because of, like, your insight and knowledge in the furniture world and all that. So, like, what kind of tips would you give people to develop that ability to see whether something is hot or not? I guess, like, the whole creative side or, like, the designer side. Is that something you just have or don't have, or can you develop it?
Well, I think you can develop it because, for instance, like, look at you. I know that you texted me when you were going to buy those things, and I was like, yes, get those. So, like, you developed it on your own, but it is something that either you're, like, you just have it or you can cultivate it. So, like, look at something. Do you like how it's built? Like, do you like its lines? Like, is it something that maybe you would buy for your own house? And when you start there, like, that's a good base to just be like, do I like that or do I think it's, like, ugly as sin?
You know, one thing I noticed was I feel like when you're in a, if you're in a giant thrift store with, like, a bunch of random furniture, old random furniture, I feel like if you live in a regular, like, normal, regular or modern apartment or place, if you take one ugly or old piece of furniture, well, I call it ugly because I think they're ugly. I'm sure they're, like, not ugly to people. But I feel like I've learned through you, if you take one of those pieces and just randomly place them somewhere in your place, I think because it's surrounded by everything else, it immediately stands out in a good way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can mix and match. Because, like, so you're, okay, for instance, like, my home is decorated really comfortable, and I have, like, this deep leather couch, and then I have this, like, white television stand, and then off to the side I have this, like, older oak table. And the oak table isn't really, it's not, like, the most eye-catching thing you've ever seen, but because it's the older piece amongst all of these, like, more modern, neutral, comfortable pieces, it just kind of, like, fits in, and you don't get overwhelmed one way or another with one style. Because some people will, like, get a whole bunch of one kind of item. Like, for instance, mid-century modern furniture. You can walk into someone's house and you'll be like, whoa, did I just, like, go back in time to the 50s?
Okay, can you stop for a sec?
Mid-century modern.
Mid-century modern. What is that? Because I've used those exact terms in one of my ads for a shelf I have. I really don't know what that means, though. What does that mean?
So mid-century modern is a type of furniture, it's not just a type of furniture, it's a style of furniture that was popular in the 40s and 50s. And what it is it's very clean lines, and a lot of the table legs like were skinny pegs.
Okay.
So you might see like skinny pegs. And if you, like, obviously, if you want to learn more about it, all you have to do is literally type in mid-century modern in Google, and it'll bring up all of these furniture pieces.
Okay, do you know that TV stand I have in my living room? That is, I have that posted up for sale right now, and it says mid-century modern TV stand. Now, do you remember the legs on that thing?
The one in your living room, the dark one?
Yeah, the black one. The legs are, like, silver and just pointy, like, pieces of, like, steel.
Yes, that's mid-century modern.
Okay, and then do you remember that leather L-shaped couch I had with the same legs? Would that be considered that, too?
I think that would be considered more modern furniture because the legs weren't, like, little pegs. They were kind of more, like, square, solid.
Gotcha. Okay. So back to what you were saying.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, so, like, if you walk into someone's house and it's all one style of furniture, sometimes it can get a little bit overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you can, yeah, you can mix up pieces, and so, like, I guess we'll get into this when we get more towards, like, description of items, mm-hmm. but when you get something, sometimes, like, a furniture piece, it's good to research, like, see if you can find who made it, like, that's stamped onto it somewhere, and research, like, what they specialize in, because you can actually use that in your favor and put that in your description.
Right, for sure, yeah, we go over that in the book, basically, okay. about getting the specifics, immediately finding out the brand, the make, model, if there is a model, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And also, even when you're out and about, if you find something before you buy it and you want to see maybe how much the value is, you want to find like the name brand and just do a Google search on it. Or,
yeah.
You know, like what I did was I found that Nathan Anthony couch. I just Googled Nathan Anthony couch, and I saw a ton of them for thousands of dollars. And then what I did was I typed in Nathan Anthony couch Craigslist, because at that point you can get an idea of what maybe other people all over the nation is selling it for on Craigslist. And it was really high. It was still really high. So that way you know right away that this is a high-end piece that you can make a profit on and buy it and resell it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of feel like I could talk about this stuff all day. Like, that's how much I like it.
Yeah, and I was going to say one more thing, and that is, I think the fact that I got, like, a lot of insight and experience from you about the furniture side of things has, first of all, made me a ton more money overall, because...
Mm-hmm.
Back to like the whole filling your pipeline thing, if you're just in one specific niche, like Yamaha keyboards, for example, if you don't expand, if you don't expand and just exploit other markets, you're limiting you're putting a ceiling on the money you can make. So it feels good to get familiar with other categories of items, you know, furniture, couches, electronics, musical instruments, whatever it is, because now I feel like specifically with furniture and stuff, like I could walk into thrift stores and I almost never walk out of a thrift store without making money, like without finding a deal on a furniture piece, because almost every furniture piece, you develop this ability to see, you have a vision for it. Like with thrift stores in general or wherever you go, like whether you're browsing on Craigslist, whenever you see something, you don't just see the item. You see a little dollar amount over the item, and right away you can decide. You're like, okay, that's how much I can probably make on that piece, and then you get it, you know?
Yeah, well, and it's so important, too, because, like, if you think about my history with Craigslist, like, you encouraged me. Like, you're the person who got me started, because I got to watch you do what you do, and you're so good at it. Like, you seriously have the secret to it, but, like... You also get this gigantic area rug, and so that was my first sale, and I made tons of money on that, which was amazing. And then after that, I did, like, the GPS, or I did the Garmin, which, again, you told me to buy, because, right, I wanted to stay in my little niche, which is furniture. We were like, get it. It's, like, $6. I was scared to spend $6 on a Garmin.
Yeah, and you've got to have some balls. You've got to spend money and take risks to make money.
Well, and here's the thing, like, I guess that's the thing, it totally paid off, because even though it scared me, like, I now feel like I can sell anything that I can. Like, it doesn't, like, have to be furniture.
Don't spend $600 on something and try, you know, like you said, like, $6 isn't going to kill you. I mean, even if you lose $6, so what?
Yeah, it was $6, and I ended up selling the thing for, what, like, $50? To this, granted, the guy was a little crazy, because sometimes you meet crazies on Craigslist, but... like, he got it, and he was so excited, and the reason he bought it is because the Garmin will show you how fast you're going when you're driving, and he's like, oh, good, my speedometer just broke, so this is what I'm going to use.
Wow, yeah, that's insane. I don't even remember, I didn't even know that part of it, and that's the crazy part. You don't ever underestimate something, like trying to post something up for sale, because you might, a normal person might think, GPS, oh, these are, people don't even use these anymore, like, you know, but then, I mean, think about that. You would have never thought that somebody's going to buy that to use the speedometer, you know?
No, seriously, because that's the thing, I got it, and I was like, oh, God, I wasted $6. Yeah, but here's this guy that was like, this is exactly what I need. Like, he was so excited about it, so I was like, oh, my God, I can sell anything. And so, yeah, you just get a sense of faith in yourself that it's something you can really do and that it's worth your time, because ultimately it is cash money in your pocket.
Yeah, and it's perfectly ethical. You know, it's not unethical either. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's business. This is what people do to you every day. Like, those things that you pick up in the store, they're not as expensive as what you're paying for them. That store is a middleman from the manufacturer. So they buy it from a manufacturer, and then they up the price, and then it comes to you where you pay a larger sum. You're basically doing the same thing, but you are getting the cash for you.
Right, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but I don't know. I could talk about it all day, so if you have anything you ever want me to talk about, I will chat with you.
Oh, my God, that's so crazy. So, like, you know, I'm driving right now. I just made it to Madison, but, like, you know how...
Woo!
We're always talking about, like, developing the eye, where you, once you develop, it's like a muscle. Once you develop the eye, you almost become like a money magnet, and you constantly see deals everywhere and opportunity. So as I'm driving, I'm kind of in the city now, and I see all these lights and buildings, and there's a mall over there. There's only one thing that immediately popped out at me, and it's a Salvation Army thrift store. Tiny sign from super far, and I'm like, oh, right away, I was like, I want to check that place out.
I'm not surprised. You would. You have like a beacon. I feel like your soul like calls out to the thrift stores and they're like, come to me.
And here's the thing. When I started, I didn't have that beacon. But here's the thing. Once you develop and get that beacon, you go from making $200 maybe flipping something in a year to making over $20,000 in sales. So it's a real thing, and it's no joke. I mean, it's a real, treat it like a real business and really invest in yourself and go out there and get as many deals as you can. It's all about volume and quantity, I think, starting out, and just going through the motions as much as possible. But
it can be like, what? Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it can be really fun too, because weirdly enough, like, some of my favorite nights or, like, times that we've hung out have been literally just going to pick up, like, different Craigslist things. So it's, you can totally do it on your own. Like, you don't need a partner. But sometimes it's fun to have someone come along, A, for safety, but B, because it ends up just being, like, a bonding experience where you kind of learn from each other. And, like, you just kind of get into it, and it's super cool and really fun.
Yeah, for sure. I think when our minds, like, come together, for sure, it's super powerful as far as finding deals, finding, you know, it's what?
I said it's electric.
Yeah, I mean, you know, your freaking furniture and vision insights that I don't have, and, you know, stuff like that, so...
And you have things that I don't have that I'm like, I literally look at you in awe. Like, I'm so glad you're writing this book, because it's stuff that you've taught me, and that's why I keep, like, trying to sneak peek it. I'm like, send me your audio file. Like,
yeah, no, it's going to be done soon, so I'm looking forward to it. But anything else you want to add about furniture, refinishing things, and that whole
thing
before we wrap it up?
Yeah, so just, I guess my key of the day, I'll give you that, is when you are looking at wood furniture and it has drawers, there are something, I don't know how to explain it, but you open up the drawer, and if you look at the side of it where the drawer face and the drawer comes together, there should be joints. They're called dovetail joints. And when a furniture has dovetail joints, it means it's high quality furniture. So look up dovetail joints on Google.
Okay.
Yep, on Google. And then it'll show you a picture of what that looks like. And that is a good indication for you as someone who's looking at furniture when you open up a dresser to decide if that dresser was well made or if it's just a POS.
Gotcha.
And that's my tip of the day.
That's for dressers and like cabinets or desks and anything with drawers?
Anything with drawers. So if it was like handmade or made by a good furniture maker, the drawers will be dovetailed, because that means that they're created a stronger joint because they want that furniture to last. So for instance, if you go to IKEA and you look at an IKEA dresser, that sucker is not going to be dovetailed. That was like on a factory line. They're mass producing it. They don't really care all that much about the integrity of the quality of that furniture piece.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, so that's just a quality thing to know about furniture, is that when you see dovetailed joints, you're looking at a well-made piece of furniture.
Awesome tip. See, I didn't even know that, you know? And it's like certain, like, weird insights like that where I'm like, okay, I didn't even know of that world. It's a whole new world, you know?
Yeah. Or I can give you another one, is that when you're looking at a piece of furniture, literally go up to it. Don't just, like, look at it. Like, get handsy. Like, get real physical with it. Like, open the drawers. See if they close properly. See if they open well. And then, like, kind of shake it, like, to see if it is level. Because you don't want to have to get this piece of furniture and then it doesn't even sit level, because people don't like that. They want their furniture to be, you know, ready to go.
Right.
So don't just do a visual. Like, be like, I'm going to get to know you, and then get in there and start touching it and opening things and see if you like how it functions as a, you know, as if it was yours. And then that helps a lot, too.
Okay. Yeah, that's a killer tip.
Yep. So those, I guess I gave you two tips.
You need to like write your own book on this, just on that, that whole side of things. There's so much, like, I wonder if they even have a book on, like, refinishing, like, to that detail, you know, to that extent.
I don't know. Probably not. I'm sure there's, like, a Martha Stewart book. I'm like, sand this and bake some cookies and then sand again. But, like,
awesome.
Maybe not. Like,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's it. That's it, then. That's it.
Yeah. That's the way to end it right there. Cut.